This is the K-Pop Cast.
And in this episode, we're talking about
BTS Jungkook's sexy new solo single, EXO's new much-anticipated comeback album, but also 50/50's contract dispute, Twice Misamo's new release, and sex appeal in the card cake dance practice. Also, we wrapped up with a super fun K-pop soda pop dance battle between IVE and NewJeans.
Not a dance battle.
Just a battle of
who
soda
had the
commercial
best
songs.
Commercial capitalistic release.
Who sold their
sugar water
their
the
soda.
Best?
Sold yeah, their right. souls for soda.
We also got a surprisingly turned events. We got into a little bit more of recent cultural appropriation, right, coming up in K-pop.
I know. It's like always hiding, waiting to pop out.
It's always
K-pop.
There. It is always there.
It's yeah. always there, yeah.
And like always, we always include all of our second and third gen references. So be on the lookout
for
that's
the game
episodes.
To play. Yeah, that's this right. episode, like count how many like Gen 2 like song cultural references we're making. I think yeah. like there's got to be like 20 plus references we make in this episode. See if you get them all.
Okay, but before we get into those topics, guys, don't forget to join the K-Pop Cast listener fam on Slack. Link to the space in the episode description. And now for our hit replays. Replay. Hi, I'm your PD and Michaela.
I'm DJ Peter Lowe.
I'm your host, Stephanie, and hit replays are what we call K-pop songs you should totally check out.
Totally.
Yeah. So kick us off, Peter. What you got?
Okay. So my song is the Block B song. I mean, P1 Harmony song. The DJ-inspired P1 Harmony song called Jump.
Oh, my goodness.
1, 2, 3, 4. Jump. Da-da-di-da-da. 내 느낌대로 go. Jump. Da-da-di-da-da. Just put your hands up. Jump.
All right, so if you didn't already know, P1 Harmony is a South Korean boy band formed and managed by FNC, the yeah. same label of AOA. And who else? Other
SF9.
Yep. But I was going to say all the groups who were originally supposed to be bands, like acoustic acts, but ended
FT
up
Island.
Just
oh, yeah.
being pop in the end. Yeah, FT Island, I think it's debatable if that was actually... Never mind.
CN Blue.
CN Blue, there you go.
Yeah, they've been around a long time.
Yeah, FNC. So P1 Harmony consists of members Kiho,
Theo.
Can you guys say the names?
Jiyoung, Intak, Seoul, and Jeongseop.
Yes. And the group was introduced to the film P1H, Beginning the New World, on August 27th, 2020. I can't believe 2020 doesn't feel like that long ago. P1 Harmony feels older than that, too.
Right.
Anyway, they debuted on October 28th with the first EP, Does Harmony Stand Out? And what, Stephanie, I feel like you and
I... most importantly, yeah. Yeah, Peter and I went to go see them live in San Jose.
Jelly.
Yes, that was so fun. And right. also, P1 Harmony is a K-Pop Cast year-end award winner for Best Banger Clanger for their song Siren.
What year was that? Did we give them that award? Was that 2020?
Ooh, it was possibly 2020. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, even back then, I remember thinking like there were a 2 or 3 year old boy group in 2020, but I guess not.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, Jump, it starts off with like very heavy like DJ aesthetics and symbols, like, you know, yeah. from the very beginning, like you see them playing
you
with a DJ mixer.
Soul. Yeah, yeah. He's like operating it like he's the DJ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, to be frank, like what it actually reminds me of is like a lot of K-pop Gen 2 music videos where they incorporated a lot of like DJ controllers and screens and stuff. And back then, and especially in the Gen 2 K-pop music videos, it was very clear that they were using the equipment improperly. Like, right. like you know, we're going to turn this knob because yeah. we're turning this knob
Peter.
Turns up the energy.
Yeah.
And that's not actually how it works.
What? It's not? Really?
No, that's not the energy knob. No. But in this one, I think they're actually using all the from what I can tell, they're actually using each of the, you know, the faders and knobs and stuff correctly, as one actually would. Like, if they're turning up the volume, they turned up a single channel to turn up the volume. Because what was it? I want to say it was like Tiara. They had a moment where, like, in a past Tiara music video, they moved up all four channels slowly at once to show that they were being serious. And it's like, no, that doesn't mean anything. And this one, they just turn up one channel for the one song, which is how you do it properly. Anyway, so technicalities aside, there's that. But, oh my gosh, you guys, Block B. Does anyone remember
Block
B?
Of course.
This is a Block B song.
Oh, yeah. I really like this vibe for them, actually. They're really settling in to their sound, their niche, and we desperately need a Block B protege.
Yeah.
Because Boy Jeans isn't going to give it to us.
Oh, boy. Huh? Wait, who's Boy Jeans?
Boys Next Door.
Oh, yeah. Definitely not.
But I think what, I don't know if I can describe it well, to be honest, but what Block B had is like a certain underworldy quality to it in its sound, like maybe just the chord progression, like, had a combination of like mischievous,
yes, mischief
and
snarky, not taking yourself too seriously.
Yeah, exactly that. Na-na-na-na-na is the right vibe, just that with a hella good beat.
Yes, just enough.
And this one, it's got this like borderline Melbourne bounce, like, you know, bounce the EDM beat in the chorus. And the raps are just really good too.
Yeah, I really like the verses.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a good song.
Yeah. P1 Harmony, I'm really excited to see this one at KCON. Shout out to KCON LA in August. But they, especially last year when I was going around and talking to people about the up-and-coming groups, I talked with Kate Halliwell from The Reader about like who she was looking at. And most people said, talked about ATEEZ as being like the next of like the fourth gen groups. But she mentioned how P1 Harmony is kind of doing this thing where when BTS was on the rise, it was more of like a word of mouth thing. Mm. Like they was kind of like this push underneath. It wasn't like they were a big industry group, where like P1 Harmony is kind of slowly getting this like recognition, I think, in the community, and they're growing a lot more, especially since their debut. So I'm really excited to hear that, like, this album from them, and like hear them kind of like lock into their sound. And I'm really curious to see kind of like what their trajectory is going to be, especially for the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm. And they stay in the U.S. basically.
Yes.
Like I saw them live in the U.S. twice last year. I think they're coming back again for KCON. Mm-hmm. They're constantly having some tour on the books where they come to the U.S. So they're like pushing hard and taking care of their U.S. fans. And like that's a smart play in my book. And it helps that one of the members is American, and their English
Canadian,
is pretty good.
Oh, Canadian,
sure.
Yeah. That counts.
Yeah, my bad, Canadian. Yeah, that helps as well. But I think they are known for having for being more famous abroad in the U.S. Mm-hmm. than they are in Korea. So we'll see where that takes them. They can really cash in on that.
Well, I mean, if the third gens are any indication, like, that has been one of the keys to success, especially, it's, you know, having a solid international fan base and then being able to have the ability to then focus on the Korean market and then make it in Korea has been the most longevity we see in our groups that do that.
Yep.
Can I go slightly off topic here?
Sure.
What about other boy groups that are on the rise? Because there's this one group I've noticed lately, Blitzers. Have you heard of them?
Oh, you mean the ones we met in person and interviewed?
That one. Yeah.
Check out our episode in the description where we interview Blitzers.
Yeah. Selfish plug for that. But they're on the way up.
Yeah, they
are. Yeah. They were on Peak Time. I was like, oh my gosh, I know them.
Yeah. And their comeback after Macarena did really well. And they were promoting it for a very long time. I was really surprised to see them like still out there, like after 2 weeks of like more than 2 weeks of promotion for that song.
Yeah. They're hardworking for sure. Well,
everyone in this industry is hardworking. But
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Blitzers, definitely, if we're looking back at peak time, thinking about DKB, Banner, the actual winners of peak time, as far as boy groups go, I feel like they're the ones getting a big boost from a lot of the more recent.
As they should, yeah.
Yeah.
And BAE173.
Yeah, them. Who else? I think maybe if you're looking at like the other like Boys Fantasy and Boys Planet, like, or Fantasy Boys, sorry.
I was going to say, wait a minute. I was starting to look that up, then I had to be careful about what I was Googling.
No. Yeah, don't search
those,
that.
No. Those groups, they're still new. Like they literally just debuted like this month or so. So, but they've had really good reception, especially with Zero Base One. It feels kind of similar to the hype that Wanna One got when they first came out. Mm. So I think that they're going to have a really strong end of the year.
Yep, lots of new boys to watch for.
Okay, Stephanie, your turn. Yes. More boys.
More boys.
More boys.
These boys are men. They are mature and they are back. I'm talking about EXO with their album pre-release, Let Me In, a dreamy R&B lush blue note packed song with that mature grown sound called Let Me In. For y'all who don't know, you are in for a treat. EXO is a 9-member SM Entertainment boy group that debuted back in 2012. Their most recent EP was in 2021. They have had some controversy over the years. And even recently, 3 members of EXO, including Baekhyun, actually filed to terminate their contract with SM Entertainment, leaving the group's future uncertain. Ultimately, they decided to stay with SM and they got their demands met.
We don't actually know.
For some reason they decided to go back to SM. I know some of us were kind of hoping that they would break free, as many artists are doing these days. Like, there's an exodus from SM.
An exodus.
Okay. Exodus. Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Next album? No.
That is an album. That is an EXO.
That's true.
They've all the EXO puns that you can make, they've made them.
Yeah. I know, right? Yeah. So this album is called Exist. And the song Let Me In, like in the music video, you see the boy band meeting each other in pairs. So like 2 members meeting each other in different settings, like outdoors or in a cafe, just looking cute. And they're slowly finding their way to one another, like they're reuniting as a meteor strikes the earth. But as they find each other, finally, time like starts going backwards and the meteor goes back into space and the world is saved, all because of EXO.
And the tree of life was
the tree of life. There's the whole EXO like mythology lore is active. Even all these 11 years later, they still have that like floating space rock meteor thing in the video. You got to hand it to SM for keeping that stuff going.
Yeah, yeah, real commitment.
Like, I could have done without it.
Yeah, I mean, as a long time EXO, like it was nice nostalgic to see, especially in this we're in another kind of tumultuous time of like Kai being kicked out to the army and the CBX issue that, you know, we weren't necessarily knowing where that was going to go. And then having this new album, which, you know, not having it almost have everybody, but still, you know, there's a little bit of a Ashiwo. What's that in Korean?
Oh,
in
English? It's a shame.
Like, it's a shame.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I sometimes think in those Korean phrases.
Yeah. Where it's like, it was hard to enjoy it.
It felt really good for me to see all of them together in the videos that are coming out for this album. I realized it's been such a long time and the scene has been missing them. Like, these guys are powerhouses, especially their vocals and their visuals, you know, but especially their vocals. And that's the main reason why this is a hit replay for me. Chen's high notes in the chorus just send chills down my spine. I almost cry when I listen to this song because of the blue notes and the background vocals, especially in the two-part bridge. Like, first of all, the whole album is bomb. If you like R&B, EXO is just giving it to you. Every song could have been a title track, honestly. It's like a no skip for me.
What is a two-part bridge? Like, how do you define that?
I guess maybe you can help me out here, but I thought that the chorus ended and then they like removed a bunch of the instruments and it was just like clean vocals building up to something. And then you think they're going to come in with the chorus, but then they like cut out the instruments again and do another slow build up. Mm. So it's like two levels, two rounds of bridge. Yeah. And I was just like, Dio, Baekhyun. Yes. Oh my gosh. Chen, everybody on one track, just at their best. Also, it comes as a surprise to no one, especially not me. This song is composed by Black people, DeJuan Antonio, Hassan Ashi Jr., Jaden Hill. This is like Black music, grown folks, Quiet Storm, R&B, slow jam. And that just makes it even sweeter. Hell yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, you were saying earlier that you're willing to go along with like this whole like commitment to the EXO story. Like, you know, for the record, let's you know, be transparent here. You're an XOL who liked what was that song? You know what I'm talking about? Well,
because like, you don't put me out there like
XOL fans just like two camps. Like,
all right,
XOLs who like Wolf and like the ones who pretend it never exists.
Oh wow, it's putting me on blast. No, you're right. I'm totally
on blast. I'm on
contradicting myself because that one is like all lore all day.
Yeah. No, if they're going to do... Yeah. Actually, I really need to get a sample of that. Sarang Hey Yo.
Yeah. But,
good times.
If they're going to do like story, I like it when they go camp.
Yeah. With,
Power. Power is so good.
Ooh, Power. Yeah. Oh,
they performed that for their Killing Voice video on Dingo.
Ooh,
they
I did need that, to watch that.
That live performance with all of them together. It was so fun.
Mm.
I think Power is also divided amongst the fandom
too.
Yeah,
it's not my favorite.
Yeah.
But it's the best song. I'm sorry. Like I'm willing to no.
Wait, what
was it? Not Call Me Baby. Their OG song.
OG song. OG song Overdose?
No.
Monster? Is it a banger?
Growl. Yes, Growl.
Dun, 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 dun.
Growl is probably their best song. It is so good. Like Growl, like I could play in DJ sets.
Like, and the choreo is amazing.
Even though Power is such a really good song, no one likes it when I play it.
Oh
no, really?
Sorry, the people have spoken, bad? Peter.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's just not a fave. Yeah.
It's a certain kind of EXO song. I feel like EXO, when it comes to their music, they have like the powers. But when it comes to like the majority of their discography, you're coming to it for like the hip hop and R&B.
I mean,
songs.
Yeah.
Where I like it for the camp. I like it
the
for the camp.
Yes. Right.
But they do have that. They do have that camp aspect.
EXO can do it all.
Mm-hmm.
Like Dancing King. Does anyone remember
Dancing
that song?
Dancing King. Oh yeah.
No.
With Yoo Jae-suk.
Oh yeah. What?
Dancing King. Oh.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
Oh man, we're really going back
into
the archives here.
Why not? I mean, this is a big event that EXO is having. EXO released a full comeback album. Like for a while, us fans were like, it's not gonna happen. Members leaving, like contract disputes, promo going down, you know. We were like, this might be the end. right? But we got this album and it's so good. It's not a throwaway. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, definitely.
What, EXO is the beginning of Gen 3?
Yeah, 2012.
Yeah, some people say that. Like, especially as far as like the big breakout of Gen 3, you start with EXO and you end with BTS.
You end with BTS?
Well, as far as like the, like, there was, it, of Gen 3, there's like a phase when EXO was the top. And then there's and the then phase BTS. When BTS comes and has their rise and like has their moment in the third gen.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like EXO era, BTS era, kind of. At least that's how I think about it when it comes to third gen.
Yeah.
I just bring up Gen 3 because, you know, Stephanie, as you're saying, like, we're surprised, excited that that came back, you know. Not for like a last hurrah, but still, it just feels like, man, you know, oh geez, coming back. And
11 years.
You know, I think that just shows you where we're at in the distance between K-pop generations now, where like the Gen 3 now feels pretty distant.
Yeah,
and
that's
some
true.
People don't even know about the Gen 3 groups.
Oh man.
That's what we were talking about in the pre-call, right? Or some of these kids don't know.
Nope. Although people still pester me that I don't play enough EXO songs sometimes at my gigs. Okay, let's move on. PDNM.
Oh.
What's your hit replay?
Well, wrapping it up, you know, we're just all about the boys today. We talk about our fourth gen boys, our third gen boys.
Yes. I had to.
So I'm wrapping it up with one boy, one second gen boy. My hit replay is Kim Sung Kyu's Small Talk. Small talk and conversations. I'm sick of small talk about where you've been. I just came for the small talk and conversations. I came for the small talk, 끝나지 않게. Let me know, let me know. You got me thinking, you got me dreaming about you. You got me dreaming, you got me thinking about you. You got me thinking, you got me dreaming about you. You got me dreaming, you got me thinking about you.
Okay, so Kim Sung Kyu, second gen boy, for those of you who don't know, which is probably a lot of people considering he hasn't been active with his group in a while, but firstly, he's a solo artist and the leader and main vocal of Infinite, the second gen boy group that debuted back in 2010. So they, you know, they came up around the SHINee, UKISS, 2PM era of K-pop, and are a big player in the second gen. Like a lot of, especially in Korea, like Infinite is one of those like household names for people because, you know, they came out on the scene. They had really strong like in sync choreography, but also amazing vocals. And
I've been told Infinite the Chaser is the best K-pop song.
Oh yes, I've also heard their debut in the Chaser was the best song of all time.
Really? What a coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
I wonder who started that. Love you, Tamar. But yeah, no, Infinite are one of those like legacy second gen groups, and Kim Sung Kyu has definitely stood out, especially from the other members of the group, because one being the main vocal, but two, he definitely has like the most like comprehensive like solo discography. He reminds me a lot of like Junsu, where he's like a lot of his stuff are these like very like emotional, introspective ballads and things. But this song, Small Talk, really was exciting to hear because it was really the first time he's done something so like poppy and upbeat for a title track. Like a lot of his stuff, like I said before, was more mid-tempo. This one's like super joyful and groovy. And this was intentional. You know, he wanted to come back after being gone for a year and give something more upbeat for his in-spirit, his fans. And you can really get that vibe in the music video, which he describes as like the concept is super nerdy because he's portraying this like office worker who's like having a really tough time. Like he hates his commute, he hates his job, but he just like wants to talk to people and like have, you know, the small talk and be able to communicate and have like good relationships with his coworkers, but they're having none of it. Like all of them are either like almost falling asleep at their desks. This one girl like in Korean is writing like her diary about like quitting. This one guy is like
that's real talk.
Literally working like a dog in the sense that he's like sitting in a kennel with his laptop.
I didn't get that, but thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you see just Sungkyu like going up to them be like, oh, Jimin, Chi, like, did you know, blah, 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 blah. Or like, oh, today the blah, 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 blah. And they're just like, you saw that, Peter, right? That one girl where her ears are just slowly bleeding, but she's smiling the whole time.
Yeah, well, he's talking to that one girl. She's nodding politely, and then she's like using her middle finger to raise her glasses. Yeah. You know, I think it's so funny. We were talking before the episode, like often in podcasting production, you know, you have to listen to some really, really bad recording sometimes when, you know, people mess up or something.
Yeah.
And so like when people, or even like as a DJ, if I'm at a gig and I can tell like the DJ isn't playing high quality music or sound, or if they're not beat matching correctly or along playing songs, my ears will bleed just like this girl.
Whatever.
In this music video, and I'll smile politely, just like how she's smiling politely in this music video, but then faded out behind her, you see her screaming, her eyes like, you know, angry. And so, yeah, that's me.
You can really
listen to bad audio or DJing or just judging DJs in general.
Jeez.
Well, I have the opposite reaction to listening to this song, which you guys should too. So go check out this new release from Sungkyu. It's been so good like seeing him like promoting and like actually dancing. Usually he doesn't dance when he's promoting on stage, but he's having fun. And he also mentioned, because you know he's second gen and a lot of like second third gen groups have come back recently, like T-Top, UKISS, and SHINee. So he mentioned in his interview that he's like, it's nice that I don't feel that lonely because I see like some familiar faces when I'm promoting. So that was just warmed my heart and got me so hyped for the Infinite comeback, which should be coming really soon. And I don't know the exact date, but it should be coming because they announced that they're doing a concert tour, an Asia tour in the Seoul, I think Manila and Japan. So Infinite is coming, guys. And this InSpirit is really excited.
Sweet. Yes. Sungkyu is special and rare when you can get an upbeat K-pop song with like such powerful, clean vocals that you actually notice.
Yes.
On top of the beat and the melody and all of that. Like his vocals are so strong. Mm-hmm. And it's great to have him back.
There's a reason he was a panelist on Peak Time.
Yep. And he was so sweet on Peak Time. He was one of the nicer judges.
PDM, I feel like I'm noticing like a trend here. Like a lot of your hit replays tend to be nerdy, fun, upbeat male soloists with like goofy backgrounds. Like concepts and visuals, like,
I mean, we all have a type, like,
yeah, no, I'm not knocking it, but I'm just like, hey, this is Michaela's thing, isn't it?
I mean, I love the dark, sexy side of K-pop, but I got into it in the bubblegum era, so this True. Is my baseline.
I think it's also I, like, you know, this is your thing, but it's worth calling out that there's enough of this to make it a thing. Right? Like there's enough music videos, there's enough K-pop songs of this, like what, like quote unquote subgenre, I guess. I don't know.
Are you talking about the song specifically? Like how it's like this upbeat? No,
just all the different
the whole package.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Got it. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Well, let's move on. So hot issue.
Mori puto bakkekkaji hot issue.
Gen 4 fans. Gen 5 fans, Gen 3 fans.
Oh man,
fans.
They don't know about that.
Yeah, we're making all the
We're
OG
doing
references.
A service. I mean, if there are any, like, if we have any fans out there who only joined at this late date, how do they find us?
Yeah, they're just like, what are they doing?
What are they talking about?
What are they saying?
Are they, saranghaeyo, hot issue. They're like, what are these weird things, these noises?
The boys.
Yeah, exactly.
Follow up in the comment section if you're a real one. Yeah. You know what we're talking about.
Fantastic. Elastic.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Definitely leave a comment if you get all these references.
Yep, you get a prize.
It's beta for you. Sorry.
Okay. All right.
Okay, yeah. We've got a favorite era. A golden era, one might say. Okay, so we'll talk about what's you know, thing we wanted to share, what's piquing our interest in K-pop, or how you.
Yeah, Peter, kick us off. What's up with you and how you?
I guess I didn't even want to come on the show to talk about this, but you guys said I should, so I'm gonna leave it to you.
I think other people would find it interesting.
So you've been doing a lot of K-pop party DJ gigs, like semi club night dance parties in the Bay. You've been getting more and more invites, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And like, it seems, yeah, the scene is really growing, you said, but like with that growth, it can kind of get competitive or cutthroat, I imagine.
Yeah. There's just a lot of people trying to enter in on the market. So there's just a lot of overlapping dates and things. And
what's something that happened that you want to share? That's some tea you want to spill. You don't have to name names.
I'm just thinking, like, what's the diplomatic way to say this?
Whatever.
People
out the PR,
swooping in on opportunities, and I paved the way. I paved the way.
Yeah, there it is.
For K-pop in the Bay Area.
Speak on it, Peter.
Yeah, I paved the way before paving the way for these other.
Put some respect on DJ P-Lo, y'all.
So, yeah, no, it's just getting competitive is all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just a lot more promoters. And yeah.
Are there more DJs?
Oh, yeah, there's that too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think it's more so from the promoter perspective. It's just getting adversarial.
Yeah. But, you know, that definitely makes sense. I mean, when we were talking about like our episode about like K-pop concerts and shows and things in the Bay Area, you know, we talked about, you know, the fact that it's growing a lot, especially in the last like 5 years. So this is, you know, makes sense that with this growth comes the battle for who can be the one, or who will be the one to outlast everybody after the hype sort of mellows out, right?
Yeah. I guess the question I'm asking myself right now is, what is like the ideal, like, quote unquote, like K-pop DJ club night? Like, what does that look like in the fans' eyes? Because I think a lot of promoters are coming at it with like their different ideas, mm-hmm. in different ways to kind of sort of monetize it. It's not a very lucrative segment, but it, you know, there are kids that go. But the problem is that K-pop kids don't drink, so your bar sales aren't going to be great. But what I've always wanted to do, like I've tried making it like my submission for like K-pop in the Bay Area, is to get K-pop kids familiar with the format of like just DJ mixing. In other words, like you're beat matching and mixing between songs and creating blends and stuff, rather than like playing the entire song.
Yeah.
And then hitting play on the next song. Like I'm trying to build, you know, one, like an intellectual, like listening, you know, appreciation for that. But two, like the other thing is like, I'm just trying to get kids used to just dancing in like, yes, a club environment without knowing the choreography.
Yes. We've been talking about that.
Yeah. And the K-pop like club nights engender that sort of dynamic pretty well, because you're all together in a room. And like everyone is standing, and you're standing in a way that you're not necessarily doing it in a random dance format where you have to be a spectacle in, mm-hmm. front of everyone else. Mm-hmm. Like you can, like definitely like a lot of random, a lot of K-pop club night events I've done. I do have fun when, you know, people have a space to jump up on a platform or a stage and show off that they know the choreography, but like that's not the main focus. You know, like that's not what everyone is necessarily converging around. Like they're more like they're in their own space next to their friends, next to other fans, just grooving and having a good time singing along or bouncing to their favorite K-pop songs. Whereas like random dance is more like, let me flex. I know that this song.
Right.
Yeah. Or this choreography rather. And let me get seen on a camera so I can become YouTube famous or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's all these different, like, I'm watching all these different ways different promoters and parties are trying to do K-pop club nights in the Bay. And like, what's working? What's good? What's the best way to do it that goes for this dynamic that at least that I'm trying to shoot for? But is that even a realistic goal? Like, what is it K-pop possible? Kids want?
Is it what the people want? Yeah. It's what I want for sure. I think all the K-pop parties I've gone to so far, I mean, they've probably been the ones that you DJed because you invited me. I was like, huh, those are all the same. But they involve like, you know, a DJ, like you playing songs like one after the other. And if people know them, then the front of the floor kind of clears for those who know the choreography and we all clap for them and cheer them on. Sometimes there's a stage where some local K-pop cover dance groups will perform during the show. And the last party I went to, there were also non-dance performers. There were singers or rappers performing on stage. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. But that seems to be the vibe that I've noticed. Like, what's another format that you're seeing besides that?
Yeah, there's certainly more performers.
Okay, more performers, yeah.
What else? I mean, I also VJ as well, right? So we're picking up the music videos and stuff.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, we're just like hoping, we're trying to push it towards, hey, like you don't have to be a performer or you don't have to, like the what is it? The price for entry to actually dancing or having a good time doesn't have to be that you're like a semi-professional cover dancer.
Yeah.
Or in that scene. You should just be able to be a fan and have fun there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got you. I'm not sure if it's going to go in that direction, but I hope so.
Yeah, certainly people are trying, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I wish we had this problem, but good luck, Bay Area.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to DJ John, who's like, man, I got to get out there.
I know.
I wish I had that problem.
Shout out to DJ John.
Would kill it. Yeah, he's just really good.
No, he knows how to work the crowd and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, like, from a technical perspective, like, y'all should really listen to DJ John's mixes. They're really good.
DJ John on Main.
Yeah, K-pop Main.
Oh, DJ. Yeah, sorry, K-pop Main.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. My hot issue is something I stumbled upon on Netflix and binged in like 2 days. It's a show called Siren. It seems like a spinoff or something riding the coattails off Physical Bake. And it's all women.
Like the unpretty rap star to Show Me the Money.
Exactly. It's like, this is just like Show Me the Money. But yeah, Siren is on Netflix. It's all like beefy women. Mm-hmm. Competing in what seems like outdoor survival challenges. I'm like, I don't know how much of this is really survival versus it seems like some of it is military combat operations.
Yeah.
They have a base.
Let me get the high ground.
They get the high ground. They like physically attack each other and like rip things out from their outfit. It's pretty brutal, actually.
Wait, did you say women were ripping things off of each other?
Well, okay, I'll let you experience that for yourself.
But to that point, Stephanie, it reminded me more of this show that came out, I believe, last year called The Soldier. It was on YouTube, but I believe it was like an SBS or something, and it was basically similar to this, but these were actual like professional military guys from all different branches of the Korean military, like competing for like to, I believe, be on the team that actually competes in the military games internationally. But again, like these are all very professional people. And so in that sense, like you said, it's very more intense with the things that they're doing, because these are professional people who have maybe killed people, you know?
Yeah. So they're professional teams. There's the athletes team, which is like wrestlers. There's the bodyguards team, professional bodyguards. There's the police. There's the military. There's stunt actors. That was like an underdog team and firefighters. That's I don't know if I'm forgetting anyone.
No, I think you got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I watched it And I left having like a like a dark feeling.
No. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Just like the lengths, the depths that they went to beat each other and saying stuff like, I'm going to kill them.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh. I don't know. Yeah. For me, like, you know how I feel about the police and the military, for example. So just to see them like use their training and like take such pleasure in beating people up, like on screen, I was like, ugh, there's something off about it. But I still watched it. It was addictive.
Yeah. To that point before about like the Show Me the Money pre-rap star comparison, a lot of people, or at least I do, maybe nobody else thinks this, but I feel like definitely Unpretty Rap Star and like Jesse specifically from that first season really opened a door for that different kind of Korean woman or that different kind of energy of women in the industry. So with this show kind of showcasing these different kind of women who come from very different professions in a more, like you said, intense way, maybe, you know, that we haven't really seen before, especially when it comes to how Korean women are portrayed in media.
Yeah, but I would say this about Physical 100 as well. What you were saying, Stephanie, around hurt each other.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's ways to flex your strength and your technical ability in a way that you're not like spilling blood of your opponent. That's where I feel.
Yeah. Did you watch it?
I haven't seen all of the Siren, but
yeah, it's like some of the teams just played dirty, like to physically hurt the other team. I was like, ooh. I don't know. Bad sportsmanship.
That's pretty unsavory too. Yeah, but I guess like, okay, acknowledging that.
Yeah.
I am someone who lives in the United States and California, and it's usually pro regulation in general. Like, so acknowledging that caveat and bias, like I think of all the things that would not be allowed in like American production that seemed to have gotten greenlit,
right?
In this, because it would you know violate some like safety health standard.
Sure. Yeah, we are getting a look into some part of the Korean culture and psyche, and I have this same feeling like when I watch the little mini wrestling challenges in Singles Inferno. When the guys have to wrestle each other in the sand.
It's that same feeling, like, Stephanie. Ooh. Yeah, I feel exactly the same way in that, too. Because, again, that would be an instance where, like, you know, surely there's some sort of, like, regulation or, like, union rules or something around, like, you can't do stunts of this kind without, you know, this sort of, like, precaution or something. Whereas I felt like in those instances, you know, you were filming those risky scenarios without necessarily the extra, you know, due diligence and safety.
Yeah. It's just raw. And like it means that they're trying to play to some appetite there is out there to see this like raw aggression play out. So something I'm pondering, it's like, what is this?
Joe in our Slack, shout out to Joe. Mm-hmm. He had mentioned, you know, in this upcoming writer actor strike that we're having US, and how previously during similar strikes, especially with actors, that when it came to like filling the void, a lot of networks turned towards reality TV. And he mentioned how, you know, there could be a possibility of you know, with Netflix that maybe or that possibility of like Korean reality TV maybe making its way over to US networks. Do you think that this show, you know, with, like you said, this caveat of like all these health hazards and possible production things that we would never see in the US would make it over, or if it did, would it be popular?
I think we're also just seeing where there isn't, you know, unionized writers or workers. So all the scripted stuff is probably going to come over too, is my guess.
Look, yeah, they're going to do whatever they can to break the strike. I don't know if they're going to reach for the Korean stuff this time. I don't know if it's the right time. We'll see.
It would be interesting. Like I said, if I turn on the TV and I see Siren, it'd be interesting.
Be like, what? All right. So changing gears a little bit. Something else that has piqued my interest is...
Wait, are you trying to go for like a double entendre on peaked or something? Like what?
No.
Never mind. Go ahead.
No. Well, you know the direction I'm going. So I was just noticing that it is a hot, hot summer.
Oh, there we go.
Another, I know.
Second like, add it to the tally. Like, let's see. Okay, we should create a hot summer,
a hot summer.
Hot summer.
No. Like, seriously, yeah. It's a game. It's like a bingo.
You need
game.
To get like, all the references.
Yeah. Like, I want to, we should count how many, like, of these, like, OG references we're making, and we should tally them, and, like, we mm-hmm. should challenge listeners to see how many they actually got. Yeah. Like, count how many you got.
Yeah.
But go on, Stephanie.
So I was just noticing as, you know, I am a K-pop dance practice connoisseur that a couple of the practices that came out this summer are hotter than hot. Okay. So I'll start off with the boys of Treasure T5 and their choreo for Move. If you haven't seen it, go catch that dance practice. You need to appreciate the full choreo, every single body roll. There's even shirt lifts, ab reveals, galore. So,
crotch grabs with body rolls.
Which is a winning combo in
the
my
boys
book.
Of Treasure are trying to act
the
grown
shirt
is
with the other
saying.
Hand. So you get like the trifecta, I think.
Yo,
in a couple.
I think you have to wait till near the end for that. Yeah, so watch the whole
bridge.
Thing.
Yep.
Yeah, I was like, okay, Treasure, all grown up, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, to take it to the next level, Card.
Always taking it to the next level.
Card with Cake and their dance practice that just came out is the epitome of sexy. All right. This is what, like, Peter, we've been talking about this for years that we've needed to see more co-ed grinding on the floor, like pelvis to hip, like action.
None of this social distance, like,
I shoot. Yeah, sure. Safe, whatever. Not safe, risky. And I just got to give it to, I know Big Matthew is behind this. I know it. And he is carrying the scene, like carrying K-pop forward in the direction we need.
Paving the way.
Yes. All of that.
Yeah. As you acknowledge, Stephanie, when they very first came out with Onana,
mm-hmm.
there was like room for Jesus. They were like socially distanced in their like so-called pumping and grinding in that song where like the ladies kind of lean forward with their butts out and the guys kind of lean back. But there's like, you know, a football field between them. Like, so, you know, there's like no room for contact. But like Cake.
Mm.
They're like, they're finally, it's like they heard what I said back then and they're doing it
right?
now.
I know. It's been a long time coming, but we here now. I can't stop. Someone stop me. Someone, please.
I'm not going to stop you. It's too
time's
good.
Up. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like, they surprised me.
It brings a tear to my eye.
And just in terms of like how much they got up on each other, and like they're finally out of like everyone in K-pop taking advantage of, you know, a mixed gender group, like, you know, what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're just gonna dance adjacent to each other, not with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So
it just shows a level of maturity and comfort and security, like, yeah, we're all professionals, yeah, we're all friends. Even, yeah, like,
and
what's
this
wrong
is,
with this?
This is notably a shift after they left. Well, not left, where DSP was acquired by Rainbow Bridge, RBW Entertainment. And, you know, with that, they got a whole new team of people behind them who clearly get what their concept is and what they're capable of doing.
The potential.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just want to say, like, I'm like so thankful and glad like Card is still going.
Give thanks.
Yes.
Like, if there are things you could be, you know, appreciate, like, you know, maybe other things aren't going great, but like, just hit pause and be like, yeah, but at least, you know, Card is still here.
Yeah.
Mm. And this is a good song. This is a really good song.
Yeah, Cake has been stuck in my head.
Cake.
Yeah.
Super cake. Catchy. Cake. And look up the lyrics if you want even more.
Listen to the lyrics. Yeah. I mean, it's... I was like, oh my gosh.
Very sexy.
Yeah.
Card coming to a city near you this summer.
Hey, yeah.
They are touring, unfortunately.
Big titty gang.
Yeah, unfortunately, I won't be able to go see them when they're here in California, but I hope you, anybody else gets a chance to see you.
Yeah,
Cake
I
live.
Would love to see them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, now that Cake has come out, I'm going to have to consider getting some ticks. All right. Last but not least, what's your hot issue?
I'm fine with just moving on to the Eye of New Jeans.
What? You sure?
Yeah. I just threw this on because it was like the one K-drama that you were also watching, Peter. But
okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
So it's time for ding, ding, ding. Like, you know, fight bell, you know, starts. Who did it better? K-pop soda pop battle royale death match.
Whoa.
So, we just kind of made this up just because we wanted to pit two songs against each other. So in one corner, we have the Pepsi commercial with Ives, I Want. Mm-hmm. And in the other corner, we have New Jeans and their song Zero, the Coca-Cola song.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Who did it better?
Coca-Cola Mashita.
Yeah.
I have to.
Just the fact that I remember that.
Oh, yeah. I know. It stands on its own.
Yeah. Just I mean, like it's been around a little bit longer. We've had more time to have it stuck in our heads.
I think even so.
Mm-hmm. I think with the Ives song, though, I feel like it's definitely a good summer like commercial. You know what I mean? How all the summer commercials have that vibe. Where it's just it's in the summer easy breezy fun party, whereas I think with New Jeans it's something a little bit more like you can hear it any time of the year.
Yeah, but New Jeans is the better song.
I think the producers like tried something a little more creative with the New Jeans song.
Yeah,
it's not top of my playlist, but I can see they tried and it is catchy. I can't help it.
I Want feels safe from a production composition.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
New Jeans Zero leaned into the New Jeans brand too.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That's true. The I Want is it could have been done by anyone.
Yeah, substitute your K-pop group, especially like also visually speaking. Mm-hmm. So acoustically, sonically, yes, that's true, right? Like I Want could be probably sung by another group. I mean, it's proximate to IVE, like it's safe territory for IVE, but you could probably substitute another group. But also visually, conceptually, like looking at the music videos, I think that contrast is especially glaring as well. IVE is like, you know.
Yeah.
What is Subway Train? Which we've seen so many.
Like, right.
That K-pop set, we've probably seen a few hundred other K-pop songs. And New Jeans, like, where I don't know where they filmed it, but like, that's also in the New Jeans style.
Yeah. So clearly the winner is Dr. Pepper by CL, right? That's the
Dr. Pepper. Dr. Pepper.
But yeah, no, yeah. I think we're all in agreement, right? That I think New Jeans is the winner in this case, or?
Yeah.
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 That'd be my vote.
Okay. So the winner of the K-pop soda ding, ding, ding. Summer Battle Royale is New Jeans with Zero.
Yeah.
Woo.
I don't think anyone would really disagree with that.
Yeah.
I think unless you're a biased IVE fan, but anyway. Off topic, send me off topic question. What's your favorite CF?
Oh, there's so many.
Lolly, lolly, lollipop.
Right. I was thinking like way back then.
Chocolate love.
Oh, yeah. Chocolate Love is really good.
I can't sing it, but Visual Dreams, the Intel.
Oh, no, I don't remember.
I keep bringing back in the day with a lot of my technology clients. I kept saying like, yeah, you need to do K-pop like Intel did with this song. Oh, and then 2NE1, they also did a really bad song with Intel. It was so bad. It was like fan voted, like fans would vote for the verse and the chorus and different things. It was so bad. Okay, well, you don't have to have an answer.
Well, I was trying to think of the title.
Yeah, if I could look at a list of them, I would be able to pick out what my favorite. I can't bring them to mind.
Mine
right
would
now.
Be Fruity by Hyolyn.
Oh, that's super good.
That's a Lipton really? Commercial, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, that might be mine too. That's a legit great song.
I don't know if this counts, but Park Hyung's Kwichanist. I had this as a hit repay forever, but it was like he didn't have money for his music video, so he just took as many ad sponsors as possible. So it's literally just an MV of ads.
Oh! What about the Girls' Generation hair porn commercial song "Secret"?
See, that was the one I was trying to think of. I couldn't remember what it was.
Pantene.
Yeah, the Pantene commercial. Yes, the hair flips in that one are iconic.
Yeah. That's back when EDM was in U.S. Airways.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let's move on. So, Daebak or not, we'll just say a thing and then we'll each go around whether we're Daebak, glass half full, or not, glass half empty, that thing. So, in the I think this is a song about sex
corner
section. Who dropped this in? Michaela, is this you?
Yeah, that was me. Because okay. I noticed two of the bigger comebacks recently are kind of have a similar thing of like maybe they're talking about sex, guys, in this one. So first one being EXO's Cream Soda.
Sexo.
Yeah, this is the title track for their last album.
Cream Soda.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what could that? That's very specific.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what could that be about?
The falsettos throughout the whole thing. Who knows?
Mm. He's saying, I need all your cream soda.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hook.
I mean, cream soda. I don't know. I'm not seeing the innuendo in that one as much.
Oh, really? Even when he's in the car wash and you watch the bubbles like slowly fall off the car. Like,
get out of here.
Okay. No, you're
you need
right.
to watch the video.
Okay.
It's Daebak. I like the song.
Yes, Daebak.
Okay, we'll go Daebak. Yeah, I'll
mm-hmm. Yeah, catch up.
On
catch
the bandwagon.
Up.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so then wrapping up this segment, we've got Jungkook with his super solo debut, Seven featuring rapper Latto.
Mm-hmm.
Where he wants it not only Monday, but also Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
7 days.
He's going to give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
This one, especially in Latto's verse, is a little bit more on the nose, I don't think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Daebak on that too. Why not?
I am Daebak on the song. I'm not necessarily Daebak on Jungkook in the music video, especially like when you have Han So-hee as like your main actress. Mm. I don't know. I just felt like the lip-synced parts and like the way he's portraying his character wasn't like connecting. I feel like he should have done one or the other, like either just pretend acted in the scene or just lip synced.
Yeah. Hey, I'll have to watch that again.
Mm-hmm.
Look for that.
But the song, I'm loving.
And there's funny scenes in the video
too. A lot of really funny scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My mom is very happy. Jungkook gives her bias.
All right.
Yeah. So she's like watching all the Good Morning America performances and stuff.
That was so sad. There was like a storm in New York. So they had to cancel at least the summer concert series that he was taking part in. But they had pre-recorded some stuff. So he was able to put that on air.
Yeah. What?
I'm on different Army Associated channels and stuff. And like, I guess some fans were like lined up for like days.
I saw that on Twitter as well.
In the cold and the rain.
Yep, camped out.
That sucks.
I mean,
some came from Mexico. I saw this one article that there are people that came from across countries just to see him perform.
Mm. Devotion.
Mm-hmm. Also, look, I think we can all agree we've all come across like thirsty like K-pop fans, but like the 50-year-old like Filipino moms armies like are like the thirstiest fans that I have ever seen. Like the things that I'm seeing them say in post.
Oh boy.
I'll just leave it like at that from just recent gesturing broadly at what's happening in the army world.
Got it.
Dang, they're called out.
I mean, good for them.
Yeah, like, you know, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah. But I'm just saying.
Everybody know, needs an outlet for that. A lot of people holding it in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, go for it. Be thirsty. So,
but you just wouldn't expect that, I guess, is maybe what I'm really trying to say. Like,
oh,
you
know, I would.
Oh, you would. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah, you just described my future, Peter. That's
Yep.
Oh, so we're all day back on Jungkook. Yes.
Yeah, day back.
Yeah, welcome back.
I'm day back on Lotto being
explicit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the rest of us.
And you know what? I'm really happy that she was able to do that on this track. I feel like, one, first having her there in the first place, like, I'm happy that she wasn't necessarily like being forced to tone down and be like who she truly is as an artist. It feels like a more genuine collab than what we've seen before.
Yeah, like Nicki Minaj and Megan Thee Stallion and their like bubblegum pop lyrics they had to sing for their BTS collabs. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cohesively, thematically went together in a very genuine way, not just like a plus one lump done sort of thing.
Yeah.
Can I also just say, like, what would happen if Jungkook 7 came out like 5 years ago?
Okay, so that's math.
What do you think, Peter? You think it would have blown up?
I think it probably would have had a little bit more traction,
like in the US.
Yeah, but also, okay, really what I meant to probe is maybe it's even further back than 5 years, maybe it's like 6 or 7, but how would the fandom react to that?
Ooh, something so sexy.
Yeah.
Well, if you think about how Jungkook looked, but that was before the tattoos and before like they've had time to really focus on their individual activities and become like individuals away from just the BTS image. So
yeah, it would have probably been controversial back then.
Very.
Yeah. Because I'm just trying to think, like, you know.
And he's the mangne.
Yeah, the youngest. Right.
The baby.
Oh, well, that also would probably go very different when he's 7 years younger. But
yeah.
He would have been like 19
but
or whatever.
Like, assuming like he was the same age as it was back then. Like, you know. I don't know. I think like fandom has grown up a bit more and been tolerant.
Yeah, I think so. I've noticed that shift. Yeah. Sure. Here for it.
Super Junior?
Super Junior.
Yeah. So Super Senior.
In a what a twist news. They said we're taking 3 people out this year, but fun but
instead
surprise,
of just one
it's
at
not,
a time.
It's not CBX. It's actually 3 members of Super Junior. So Donghae, Eunhyuk, and Kyuhyun have terminated their contracts with SM Entertainment and are now pursuing individual activities. Like they're still part of Super Junior, like they're still in the group, but just they're no longer under SM.
That's becoming a more common thing, right? With we forgot to add it to the list, Hwasa.
Oh,
yeah.
Did we talk about
Hwasa
that last
time? Joined P Nation, correct?
Oh, did you guys do that in the last episode?
No, we didn't talk.
Oh,
about
no?
it.
Oh no, okay.
That was the buzzer beater that came in after we stopped recording.
Okay, yes.
But yeah. Hwasa also just signed with P Nation in a very public way, but also with what's her face from Mamamoo. Oh my God, Moomoos are killing me right now. We did a whole episode on her.
We did?
No, not Hwasa. I wanted the member's name who's leading me.
Wien, yeah. Oh, okay.
So you were talking about Mamamoo. Yes, Wien from Mamamoo.
Wien, there we go.
Okay, so she's going to P Nation too?
No. But I'm just saying this trend of
leaving the group, or leaving the company, but still being in the group.
Staying in the group.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So, like, that's becoming a thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it, yeah.
And it was interesting because technically Super Junior, I forget, like they as Super Junior, where it is in SM is kind of its own like sub company in itself. So it was really interesting that they decided to really cut ties even after creating this kind of sub-label where they were able to have more of individual control apart from SM.
Yeah, how do sub-labels work?
That's a good question for a smarter person.
If you know the answer,
yeah, put yourself industry on. Expert, please.
Yeah, because I've also wondered, like, there's the... I'm forgetting the name of the sub-labels behind New Jeans and Le Sserafim. But, like, they're competing with each other. They gotta be. Even though they've got the same parent company.
In, like, a... Like a NSYNC Backstreet Boys kind of thing.
Yeah, I guess. But like, just look at it. Like, there are probably some bright lines that are held. Like, you're not going to do them the same time. But like, look how close they are to each other in terms of like their releases.
But they're still HYBE.
Yeah, same parent company, right? But but between the sub-labels, they got to be like, you know, duking it out, I'm sure, or not happy about cannibalizing each other's efforts.
Okay, so applying this then to why Super Junior members would want to still leave SM because of that those tensions.
Oh no, I didn't mean to make any connection there. But I'm just wondering how, like, how do these sub-labels work? Is I guess my question, like, just.
Well, if you know the answer, please check out our Slack and contact us. Our email is in our website.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's probably not that different from like how tech companies acquire each other and sometimes keep the brand and the team together. You know, like it's probably not a one size all picture. There's probably some like sub-labels that like maintain their old office and their studio and like they barely have any interaction besides monetary with the big house. But then maybe there's some that are, yeah, fully integrated, adopted in, but like just keep the name for branding reasons or something. But for all intents and purposes, they eat at the same cafe as the other artists, blah, blah, blah. I imagine there's a range of how it looks. Just like in tech.
As far as like going back to the members leaving, Kyuhyun makes sense. I feel like when it comes to like his solo activities and how he's been moving through like Variety and things like that, wanting to have more control over that and more of the piece of the pie for himself in that sense, depending on what their contracts are like. But Donghae and Eunhyuk is actually really surprising to me. Yeah. Considering like they have their Super Junior DNE unit where they've been able to promote.
Yeah,
on
I like
their
that
own
unit.
And you know, pursue more of the music that they've wanted to do separately from Super Junior, which they've been doing for multiple years now. So it's interesting.
Well, maybe they're gonna get to still do that, but keep all the money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they're done performing. Still got it. Super Senior.
Super Senior.
Is there another group that besides Mamamoo that have had different labels? Oh, GOT7, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's kind of a different...
It's weird because like it's similar to what Infinite has done recently. So like Infinite has created Infinite Company where Sungkyu, the leader, is the CEO of that company, which manages Infinite stuff, where... GOT7 is like they have their own like GOT7 company where JB is the CEO, but they also individually have solo artists are under different companies.
I wonder if there's something like that in the future where like each idol has their own crew, like their own manager that is not through the label. That'd be a very non-K-pop thing, I guess. That's more of a Western
thing. Yeah, yeah.
Because the K-pop thing is more like, we're going to train you, we're going to raise you.
Yeah, we're going to take you from your parents at a young age.
Yeah, but like the point being like the K-pop label.
It's all
model.
Centralized.
Yeah, but also like we're going to invest in you in all this training.
Yeah.
Because we're going to own you when you start becoming profitable.
Yeah, that's true. That's different from where we see other parts of the industry going, which is like, I guess, outsourcing contracted out labor, piecemeal labor, 100 producers on a song, getting little to no money for it. Like, definitely the opposite of in-house production is where like certain parts of the industry are going, and definitely other industries just like outsource, don't mm-hmm. take responsibility for the work being done. But the artist relationship is still very like close to the chest for the label.
I wonder if we're going to get into like this contractor free-for-all freelancer sort of thing.
Maybe. I don't see why not. Cause like, yeah, influencers, like that whole thing.
Virtual artists.
Oh God, virtual artists. Don't get me started.
Virtual artists. And there's virtual artists, right? Which have like a human puppeteer uh-huh. behind them.
Yeah.
And then there's also AI generated artists mm-hmm. because I'll have you know, everything is generative AI nowadays.
Uh-huh, you're right. Spoken like an AI publicist. Are you AI, Peter? That's what I want to know.
No, but you could probably create a very convincing Peter Lowe based off of all the, like, if you were to like take all the audio recordings of all the episodes.
That's true. And
if you were to transcribe all the episodes and all the things I've written,
run our outline, you could probably
make a very convincing sounding
all right,
DJ Peter Lowe.
Okay. So we'll keep that in mind. You are now dismissed, Peter.
Putting a pin in that.
You've been replaced. We're going to just AI generate your commentary from now on.
Peter AI.
But creating generative AI isn't cheap, a lad.
Yeah.
Like the computational costs for that sort of thing are more expensive than other AI MLS methods.
All right. I guess we'll keep you on a little longer.
Yeah. Until, what is it? That threshold, like the cost of computation is lower than actual real life DJ Peter Lowe.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll wait for that.
Soon.
JK, mm-hmm. JK.
Economies of scale.
No. But, yeah. You're priceless, Peter.
Oh, well, no. You have to have an original source to like break the news, or like the first time someone says something mm-hmm. or, you know. Anyway, okay. I don't know how much you hear my son singing in the background.
It's hey, just Daddy. Like a broken record. Okay. So, speaking of
contract news, right?
Yeah, contract news.
Are we Daybok or not on Super Junior? Super Senior? We're all Daybok, yeah?
Oh,
yeah.
Daybok. Yes, Daybok.
Yeah, why Daybok. Not? It's okay. They've been there forever, man. Give them mm-hmm. a break.
Okay, Attract?
Yes.
Yeah, so Attract CEO wants to reconcile with 50/50 and for a new start. Previously, they had been in a tense battle for, I guess, ownership of 50/50. They had alleged that a lot of other labels were trying to poach them from them, but apparently that wasn't true at all. And there's been some tension between between the artist and the CEO. But it looks like he wants to, you know, just. Hey, let's just and throw that all away. Let's forget all about
in
what
the
we've been saying.
Midst of the tension, like 50/50, I don't know, like if y'all have been following their meteoric rise, 50/50 is the it girls in the scene right now, like charting on US charts, not just Korean charts, with their song Cupid, which is like viral gold. And so 50/50 has been invited to be on the official soundtrack for Barbie. They've been invited to like just be in all of these American and global stages. But in the midst of this dispute with their label, all of that was canceled publicly. So they're like not on the soundtrack. They're not in the movie. They're not.
Wait, what?
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe it's going to be rescheduled or come back in. But the news was that all of that was put on hold kind of to punish the artists for daring to talk to other labels or even the hint of that. It was nasty at the height of their career. And so now the label CEO is like, can we make up, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, he needs them. But like, OK, can we say, you know, what's really interesting is just how different you take this news, whether you're Korean or not Korean. I guess like Korean, mm-hmm. like domestic audience was like sides with the CEO. the business, right? But like, I guess us US were like, no, like, you know, artists are need the freedom. I don't know enough of the situation to actually say, you know, one way or another.
I mean, from the Koreanist perspective, I mean, it was Warner Music was labeled specifically as a one of the labels that was trying to take them, take 50-50 from them. And, you know, that being a, you know, a non-Korean company with, maybe I can understand some tension about, like, you know, Korean people wanting to side with the Korean company maintaining the artist.
But, I mean, it's possible I may be getting the Korean sentiment wrong. And, and certainly I don't mean to say, like, all, you know, domestic Koreans feel that way. But we saw a similar sentiment with Lee Soo-man and and SM Entertainment. Whereas, like, I guess maybe that was sort of like the inverse. Like, whereas Westerners are like, what the hell are you doing, Lee Soo-man? Whereas, like, you know, Koreans are like, yo, Lee Soo-man is the OG. You owe him everything. Like, there's a sense of loyalty.
Yeah, maybe what's the common... You.
Yeah, what the common thread is, like, the loyalty, I guess. Right? Like
yeah, like, know. That's the priority.
Yeah.
Yeah, these big labels, especially the founders, are these larger-than-life figures who, yeah, did play a role in paving the way, laying the foundation for all the artists we know and love. But they can also be tyrants and abusers and all of that.
So at the end of the day, I'm not on this, I think.
I think we're probably all not.
Highly
but like,
sus.
Even not, like, even if you were to put the CEO in, like, the most benevolent, positive places, I think it's still a not story. Like, but yeah.
I feel for them. It must be so frustrating, disappointing to be jerked around.
And it's like your one shot too, you know, you can't manufacture these things. It's like they come around easily.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially with the Barbie movie. Like that would, the PR budget for that movie was
everywhere.
Immense.
Man.
So
yeah,
having
also huge.
No longer having a track on that album is a big hit.
Yeah. We'll see if they can recover.
So in KCON news, it was recently announced that virtual artists Plave and A Pokey will be attending the KCON convention as special guests. I don't know how they plan to attend the convention.
On Zoom?
Maybe through Zoom. I don't know. We've seen holograms recently come up in some performances on stage. Maybe there'll be holograms like Hatsune Miku style. I don't know.
Yeah.
This will be an interesting thing to see when at KCON.
Okay. I'm like not. It's like I paid for real artists, okay?
Well, notably they're a special guest at the convention. I don't think they're actually going to be like performing at the concert. I think it's more like they're going to have like a separate thing in the convention hall where they are if they're there. Or maybe they have a panel like you said and it's like a Zoom chat with Plave and A Pokey.
Sure. What do you think, Michaela? Are you going to be lining up for the virtual panel?
If maybe, I don't know. I'm kind of debunk on this just because I want to see what it means. Like I'm still
okay.
I'm
you're really going to show up. You're like ready for anything.
So subscribe everybody. Like follow for the update from the on the
you
ground
see
investigation.
If an actual like rabbit shows up on the stage for a pokey.
I want to say like how did E-40 say it in that song? Ah, Pokey.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny.
Are you Dibok, Peter?
I'm trying to keep an open mind on this. You know, my initial visceral reaction was not, but just keeping an open mind, I'm Dibok.
All right, we
got to find other ways to engage and scale this machine that is K-pop, and you know this could be really interesting. So I'm gonna say Dibok.
Okay,
all right.
Yeah, I'm really curious. Okay, BB Girls. Have you heard of this group? So
what? Who? BB Cream? No.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, not that. Although that's like maybe they should hit them up.
I know, right?
Yeah, that's the commercial.
Just give them an idea for some CFs.
Yep.
Although Alexa chose not to do is not a not doing CS with
Apple or no not Alexa, Amazon. Oh damn.
Yeah.
My oh man, missed opportunity.
Yeah, but apparently Alexa's named after the camera, I've heard. But
what?
Yeah, the Alexa camera that Zany Bros uses.
Oh. Yeah.
So BB Girls is the renaming of the group Brave Girls.
Hey.
Because Brave Brothers owns the naming, the IP of Brave Girls.
Mm-hmm. Boo.
So instead of Brave Brothers Girls, I guess they're BB Girls. I don't know. I
like Brave, you know, Sound.
Brave Sound. Hey. But instead of having like a brand new identity, like what Viv is from GFriend, like, you know, it feels like there was an attempt made here to try to connect, like draw a line from Brave Girls to this BB Girls. So like,
yeah, but it's not.
Don't forget us from rolling.
Yeah.
I would have, I like with, you know, Beast becoming Highlight, the three members of GFriend becoming Vivas. Like when you're leaving a company and you're starting, like having a fresh start is a better rebranding than BB Girls, which.
Wait, so you would say that then about GOT7?
Wait, what?
No.
What do you mean?
I think it's different when all of the members leave and continue working versus the group broke up and scattered, and then, you know, I don't know. I see a difference there. Like GOT7 should keep their same name and keep going because it's the same group. They're doing the same thing, and Brave Girls should have been able to keep going with that if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the BB Girls is like a half ass rebrand. Not their fault. Yeah. But
and especially in this case, like GOT7 is GOT7. It's not like GOT JYP. Like,
yeah, it doesn't have the name of the label in it. That's true. That makes it tough.
Well, I hope they're able to achieve something. It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like they had some good songs, but
definitely they're really talented.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
successful
I don't think
tour.
As was it successful? I was gonna say. The songs after Rolling weren't as commercially well received.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Rolling wasn't even commercially well received. No, when it first came out, but, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean,
okay,
you know,
so continuing with the
K-pop names, maybe it'll be grow on me. But as of right now, maybe. It's a not on the BB Girls.
Yeah. They keep calling them Brave Girls.
You're not Stephanie?
Not.
I don't want to say like not to the group, but
no,
I guess
of course not.
Maybe not to the situation. And the name. Okay. Oh, by the way, they've also Helix. Helix is now representing them.
Mm.
Okay. Misamo.
Mimosa.
Do not touch.
Momisa.
Momisa.
Momo, Sana, Mina. Twice. Japanese subunit.
Mm-hmm.
They look what do you guys so think? Good in this video. They are hot.
I loved it before I even heard it. Like just visually looking at the looks that were coming from the teasers and seeing online, I was just gorgeous. All of it's gorgeous.
Wow!
And then the song is good
too.
The sleek
black gowns with the black hats. Mm-hmm.
That's gonna be like embedded in my mind forever. Like it's
so glamorous.
Yeah,
yeah, it's really good. I'm Daebak on this.
I liked the looks a bit better than the audio.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be with you on that. Also, the backdrops, very elegant. The works of modern art. And I think there's something around my body is... I don't know. I'm just going to stop there. I'll just let you guys interpret.
So.
But there's... Oh, I'm watching it right now. I'm actually getting some of the artistic references. Like there's...
Mm-hmm. There's the Venus that... Aphrodite painting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And there's also the one of the, what is it? I want to say it's a Monet, probably, you know, the, it was a chalk drawing of the women in the swing. And if you look closer at the painting, like, or not the painting, was it a painting? Or was it, Yeah, probably. Anyway, but if you look at it, there's the guy pushing the girl, and then there's the guy. How do I not sound like a creep? The guy hiding in the bushes, looking up the girl's
dress.
Oh no.
And that same scene is recreated here in this.
Is someone looking at her in the music video?
No, there's no one in the music video, but it's the same outfit, same swing, same style.
Mm-hmm. Maybe the the directors didn't catch that part in the original painting. They're like, this looks sweet. Let's recreate it.
Well, or it's like, you know.
Or maybe it is.
Categorized under, you know, love, lust. Huh.
Obsession.
Yeah, yeah, actually, I'm sorry. This is obvious. It should be pretty obvious, I guess. But like that's the common thread across all the artworks that they're referencing here.
True. Yeah. Look, but don't touch. All right. So yeah, all around, we're pretty daybok on this. Mm-hmm. I look forward to them releasing more stuff.
Is there something meta there around that's what it is to be an idol?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. I can see that.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Can I also say something very controversial?
Oh,
that will get us canceled with all the onces? You know, because I just love to get us in trouble all the time. Naya can hold her own. Jiho can hold her own.
Okay.
These three need a subgroup.
Ha!
And it works. They're a good subgroup, just like Orange Caramel. Like, Orange Caramel is like one of the OG's all best subunits of all time. And I could see a similar thing going here, but they're not soloists as twice, you know,
standards go.
Well, no. But I mean, like, just, you know.
Yeah. Like, I see what you're saying.
Like, you know, there's some people who are just very good at soloists.
They're not quite ready. Maybe this is the step towards that.
I don't think it's even a matter of being ready. Like, I think it's, you know, there's just certain personalities and things that do better as a soloist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then are you coming at this mostly from, like you said, a vocal perspective, Peter, or what is it that you're seeing too?
Yeah, it's pretty flat with this group. I mean, you know, I'm not saying like, you know, they're technically incapable or anything, but it's just like, you know, the unique sound. I guess there are some like less common ways of like you recognize their voices, but like, is it good on its own? Would you want to have a whole song of just that color?
I liken this to basically my reaction to Jisoo's solo debut from Blackpink. How she didn't do anything crazy. She kind of kept to what she was good at, and that's looking beautiful, acting, having very like iconic imagery in her visuals.
Visually stunning.
Not necessarily in dance or vocal like the other members. I feel like this is kind of similar to that with Momisa, that they're still like we said, the visuals and the looks and just how their charisma in the music video, I think is their zone, and they're definitely playing at that 100%.
Yeah, but they work better together as a group. So I'm just saying, like, I think they're the members are, I hate to say it, but I guess more one note. Whereas I think Jiho and Nayeon can hold their own a bit more. I don't know. There's a bit of a je ne sais pas around it, but
understandable that you can have your differing opinion. It's okay.
So we're daybok on this. We're all daybok on this.
Speaking of ladies who can hold their own. G-Idol, yeah. And Soyeon, Jun Soyeon, are partnering with 88 Rising and have released a song called I Do. Mm-hmm. What do we think about it?
Yeah. I'm really curious what you hear. You think of it, Peter, especially since we had some talks about like what we were expecting from it versus what was actually the song.
Yeah. So I guess what we were expecting was, I don't know how to describe the feeling, but the emoji captures how I feel, like the wonky emoji face, you know, the face with like the kind of smile,
the squiggly mouth,
squiggly mouth, like trying to force a smile, you know, G-Idol's previous songs, like Tomboy, where it like, you know, the rap is a little cringe, like, you know, it doesn't quite get it, but I'll go with it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the lyrics don't quite make sense in English, but what we were saying earlier was Soyeon, you know, to her credit, she does a lot of production stuff, but she also does stuff where, like, you know, maybe the lyrics don't make a ton of sense, or the time signature is slightly different. And then us K-pop fans will come in later and be like, yes, artistic genius, breaking the mold.
It was intentional.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like that was on purpose. Mm-hmm. But, it, you know, just slightly off, but maybe it gets, you know, consumed in a way that, like, oh, that was a really cool artistic, you know, take. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I guess the question was, especially with like an English focus where, you know, to be frank, I think that's Seon's weak spot in a lot of her lyric writing.
Mm-hmm. For J.I.L. and Soyeon.
Yeah. To hear this, I guess, you know, they didn't run into any of that. And it was 80s gated reverb snare.
Yeah.
Groovy synth song. And it's good.
Yeah. It's fair.
But I didn't get enough Soyeon in it.
Yeah, where is she at?
Yeah, she was really hidden.
She was just chill, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to be excited to hear this one at my gym instead of the English version of Oh My God that I've heard at my gym a few times.
Oh, no.
I'm happy they're expanding their English tracks.
Nice. Yeah, I'm kind of not on it. Kind of forgettable for me.
Okay. Well, I guess I'm also not, yeah. Mm.
I'm a Daebak. Just like I as far as English releases go, I'm excited. I enjoyed this one from G Idol.
You know who's like really breaking the North American game, right? Well, you know, besides the obvious candidates of like NewJeans and Le Sserafim and
TXT.
TXT. Well, yeah, TXT is doing good, but and 17 ATs. And Stray Kids and ATs. Okay, aside from all of those people, you know who's doing the North American game really well?
Who, Peter?
XG.
Yeah.
XG. They didn't need 88 Rising.
Oh.
Like, it's just what they put out in their go-to-market strategy works without 88 Rising, I think. Although they did perform at 88 Rising's Head in the Clouds.
They did,
right?
Head in the Clouds, yeah.
So they technically...
How would you describe their strategy, what you've seen of it?
You know, back in Gen 2 K-pop world, remember, everyone was like pro-YG on like doing K-pop West, right? Because like, you know, there was Gangsta from the suburbs of
authenticity,
Seoul.
Quote. Say your quotes.
Please.
But, you know, yeah, there was more character, right? Mm-hmm. More individualism in YG. And so I think a lot of people in the Gen 2 era hypothesized that, you know, YG would do well. I think we're getting a little bit of that with XG, not necessarily the individualism, but like the hip hop aesthetic.
Yeah, definitely.
Not even hip hop, but like TikTok, Y2K, hip-hop fusion that we find ourselves in 2023. So that's working. Also English, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, still all their tracks are in English. I mean, they release some like covers and snippets of performances that are in Japanese and other languages, but still most of their tracks are in English.
Yeah, well, XG is cool. Like, they've got that cool factor. Even if it is manufactured, but it...
Mm-hmm. Don't mess with a girl gang.
Yeah, but you know, girl like, gang. It's a strong contrast from what else is on the market at the moment.
Mm-hmm. I'm seeing. I have to comment on like what I'm seeing all over TikTok and Twitter about them is the cultural appropriation accusation. Yeah. The clip of them when they're clearly dressed in like Black American fashion and braided hairstyles and just like kind of overdoing it the caricature way. Mm-hmm. And they've been getting dragged the past like month or so for that one clip, that one performance that's going around. And I don't know, for me, it's kind of like their whole package is Black music, Black singing, Black styles and whatever. So Why is it just the hairstyle that makes people get outraged? Like, oh my God, like, what? Like, you liked them before. They were doing black stuff before. Mm-hmm. Chill out. Mm-hmm. You know, like, what do you expect? Yeah, I don't like seeing that. I will continue to be a fan of XG. I don't think.
You're saying there's like inconsistency here.
Yeah,
like,
be consistent. If you're against appropriation, you're pretty much need to stop listening to K-pop.
Yeah.
Like drawing the line at a hairstyle is like the easy, convenient thing to do these days to call out on social media. Like, oh my God, they're, you know, you know, it's been outraged.
Yeah, I think it's been around and called out enough that it's more easily identifiable and pronounced.
Yeah, yeah. For sure. For sure. It's just this like low hanging fruit shortcut to
feeling good about yourself or calling something out.
For calling it out and like, but you're still listening to other K-pop.
JPEG. That,
yeah, I know. We all are. Yeah. I talk about this so much. Mm-hmm. I'll give it a rest. But I'm just like, leave XG alone. If you're not going to go after everybody else.
Yeah, and not defending it either, you know.
Yeah, no, definitely like not defending it. It's hard to put my finger on what this is. But it's like people are just getting really, really smug and quick to throw a group in the trash when and not actually look at all of them, the bigger picture with that same energy. I think that this might be controversial, but it scratches the same itch that I think having a law against something does. Mm. It's like if there's a law, we were talking about this on The Glory, if there's a law against bullying, then you're able to absolve the rest of the societal systemic phenomenon of power abuse by labeling certain people as like, oh, you hit this threshold and you checked these boxes, you're a bully, you're an abuser. Mm-hmm. And then we don't have to have hard conversations about the entire culture. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh yeah, that person's a bully and like, I'm not, when actually the same behaviors, the same roots, the deeper roots are widespread in our culture. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know I drew like a wide. I just jumped over there, but that popped into my mind.
Yeah, for further talks on this discussions, check out our episode on The Glory, the K-drama The Glory, as well as our What's Wrong with Jay Park episode. What was it called?
Yeah.
Can you be an ethical Jay Park?
Can you be
fan?
An ethical Jay Park fan episode?
the other one I was going to bring up, mm-hmm. just plug in K-pop cast episodes. The interview with Dexter Thomas Jr.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, 100%.
You know, his point around if you can personify the problem mm-hmm. as or put
yes,
the,
what
put
happened
a person
to Tablo
in front of a problem and then remove that person, you feel good about yourself.
Yes. Yes.
As if you like remove that problem, because that's like the easy, less complex way to think about the problem.
Yes.
And then feel good about solving the problem.
Projecting it onto one individual. Yes.
Yeah. And because in the concept of an individual is easier to grasp rather than mm-hmm. capitalism.
Yeah. Like a force, a systemic, like invisible. Yeah. Yeah. Totally. I think that's what's going on here with the wave of outrage on that one clip. Yeah.
How did we, where were we?
We were,
are we Daebak or not on G-Idol's I Do?
You said XG doesn't need 88 Rising to promote in the U.S.
Yes, and I am Daebak on G-Idol's
I hijacked
I
that.
Do. I'm glad you hijacked it, Stephanie. That was a good discussion.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess I'm... You know what? No, I'm going to say not. I'm
yes,
not I'm not Daebak on G-Idol or 88 Rising. I'm sorry.
Not.
Okay.
Cool.
It's like a compromise for both parties on both fronts.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I just complained about how wonky face G-Idol lyric songs are.
Okay. Wrapping
all right,
up
do we
this
need
section.
To do this last one? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Odd Eye Circle, Luna are being reborn. in Artemis rather than BlackBerry Creative. So they came out with a new song.
Artemis is their new label, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or whatever. Yeah. And their new song is Air Force One. So are you Daybok or not on Odd Eye Circle? Okay, well, I'll go first. I am day to the Bok. I'm there for all the drag queens who live for Luna and especially Odd Eye Circle. The gays and also in a very odd bedfellows, all the incels who seem to like Luna as well.
Right.
Like you've got incels and gays and drag queens who all love Luna. Woo! So it's really weird. Just
bringing us all together.
Yeah. But... yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Daybok.
I think I'll have to come back.
Keep going, but like I'm not that into the song.
Yeah. It as reviewing like all the songs for this episode, it did kind of like it slipped by me. Like I listened to it, but it was forgettable just because I was reviewing everything. It's probably a song that's gonna come back on rotation later on. But happy to see them back, especially when it comes to. I guess fourth gen girl groups like sticking around for more than a few years.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're in the, you know, EXO is from Gen 3, but they're still continuing. So same thing with Luna here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just want to say that this song is like so Odd Eye Circle. It is like just very much on brand for them. Yeah. So the fact that they were able to maintain that concept and sound post BlackBerry Creative was great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything else before we wrap? There was something I wanted to say about Twice. I'm totally
Is it JYP related? Is it GKIL related? Is it about their tour?
The tour was good, right? I didn't go, but I didn't go either.
I didn't get tickets.
It was good, I heard.
Yeah, some folks in the Slack are like all about it.
Oh, yeah. Saying
it was like grown and sexy too. Woo!
Oh, yeah, that, yeah. Yeah, oh, shout out to Mia and...
that actually went to the tour. Dina went.
Yeah. I'm going to wake
up in
the middle
K-pop
of the night.
Is it even K-pop related?
No, it was definitely related to like Twice and the members or something. Oh, whatever. I'm just going to... Oh, are you guys on Threads? If you're all on Threads, follow us on Threads. I'll thread it out. Hopefully Threads starts getting feature parity with Twitter so we can start doing more stuff there. But we're at the K-Popcast on Threads. I'm at DJ Peter Lowe.
I'm at Michaela J K-Pop. Still on Twitter, not on Threads yet, but we'll see.
Yep, I am S Parker 2 on Twitter.
Are you gonna move to Threads?
I think I'm on Threads. Catchlight 27. I have not opened it since I joined though.
Okay. Well, I'll mention you
find me.
On stuff.
Cool.
And you can tweet all of us at the K-Popcast or. Thread all
thread
of us,
us
on threads.
Thread us.
Drag us.
No. All right. That was fun. It was great to have the team together for
a
classic hit replay hot issue. It always feels good.
Okay. Come to my gigs. See you
Catch
at the next
you
party,
later.
Everyone.
Bye, all everybody. Right.